Chapter 10. Celeste Tuck slid into her sleek sky blue Eclipse with affection. She liked that she never had to adjust the driver's seat. She was the only one driving this car, and truly it felt like hers more than theirs. The distinctions were difficult to make sometimes, but not with her Eclipse. She looked for Angel's car and saw it in the barn driveway. She turned her head to the lake and saw the mist rising on the water and two ducks paddling along. The Eclipse purred its hello. She did not have to attach her seatbelt, and no one was going to guilt trip her about it. Pelican Brief started right where it stopped. The voice was warm and had a flavor of the South as she settled into her seat and then sprayed gravel on her way out the driveway and whipped out onto the country road. The words were soothing, and she was listening as a person would to a conversation someone was having that you could stop, replay, zip ahead, or just relax into. Ron had been like a little boy who could just not keep his eyes open by the time he came into the bedroom. She was reading, but had the TV silently set to the news in the background. He wanted sex with her, and she knew it. But he was just unable to stay awake. He was telling her about the barn in 1 second, and then he just put his head down and was asleep. Celeste had grinned and shook her head with envy. I mean, who the hell did that? She gunned the Eclipse and rode on the sound of the voice and the cornfields that were becoming familiar and that she had learned to watch grow. She slowed as she entered Hackleburg. She had lived all over this town. It was familiar. She pulled her car up across the street from her favorite bakery. Peter smiled when he saw Celeste coming into his shop. They greeted each other warmly. I almost forgot that Tuesdays are the first day of your week, said Celeste. Peter grinned and said, I have some new pumpkin muffins. Opened his palms and raised them. On the house for you today. Celeste reached into her bag and said, and a large container of coffee. She took the empty cup from the container and walked to the urns. Peter inhaled the scent of her perfume and the warmth of her eyes and the pleasing sight of her backside as she walked to get her coffee. She was a breath of fresh air. He had the muffin in the bag when she came back. She took her coffee and left $2 on the counter. When he turned to make change, she was walking away and calling a see you tomorrow over her shoulder. The placard over her parking space read, Celeste Tuck, Social Services Director, Hite Village. Heidi Kleiss was always the first at her desk, and today was no exception. Celeste had to walk past her office to get to her own. Everyone on the management team did. That was one of the ways that she or her secretary, Vivian Florencola, kept track. Celeste wasn't even past the side of her doorway when she heard Heidi. The sound of her voice had an almost sphincter-tightening effect on Celeste. She froze and turned. Come in, Celeste. Have a seat. We've had an unfortunate incident last night, and you are to do a full report that includes the gathering of necessary paperwork to track the last 12 hours of Doria Klepper's life. Celeste was stunned. The last 12 hours? She wasn't critical yesterday. I looked down on her. She was disoriented, but not agitated. Heidi did not look up until after she delivered the next line. She went down the stairs in her wheelchair, and since she was restrained, the fall severed her spinal cord and column. Celeste's mouth dropped open. She was decapitated? Do not use that word in your report. Not anything like it. Keep the description vague to fatal head and neck injuries. Okay, said Celeste. I better get started. I'm sure you want it as soon as possible. Before you go home, Celeste. And then she put her head down. Celeste had been dismissed. She moved in back of her desk to find Doria Klepper's file. She knew her children. They would be surprised, but not find it tragic. Their mother had not known them in 2 years. She was slightly surprised to see that Heidi had notified the family at 4:15 a.m. She put in the call anyway. "Janice, this is Celeste Tuck from Height Village. I'm so sorry about what happened to your mom."